Hello, this is Dave with the News Gazette for Saturday and Sunday, June 22nd, 2025. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with the weekend special titled Room for Improvement by Jana Wiersema. Urbanist Challenge, Get Life Breathed Back Into Philo Road Business District. In February 2005, the Urbana City Council approved a strategy to revitalize the Philo Road Business District in the wake of closures such as Jewel, Jerry's IGA, and Kmart. 20 years later, improving the area remains a priority for city officials, including new mayor Deshaun Williams, who spoke often of the business district at campaign events. We have to have rebirth. Get the life breathed back into the area, he said. There was a point in time that Philo Road was one of the many focal points for the city. In addition to previous challenges, the corridor has been hit with a spate of big-name closures in the past year, including Burger King, Walgreens, CVS, and most recently, Family Dollar. When those close, it's definitely concerning, said Nathan Montgomery, co-founder and executive director of the nonprofit Salt and Light, which is located in the Sunnycrest Center along Philo Road. Clearly, they're choosing not to invest in this part of the community, and that is really hard to build back in. Alderman James Quisenberry, who has lived in the area since 1989, said Philo Road was a commerce center when he first arrived. Its decline over the years may be due, in part, to the relocation of Illinois 130, he said. The state highway used to run along Windsor Road and continue onto Philo Road, said Illinois Department of Transportation spokesman Paul Wapple. However, the state decided to change the route and signed a jurisdictional transfer agreement with the city in 1986. Quisenberry said the change may have contributed to the loss of major chains due to a drop in traffic counts, which can influence where brands choose to set up shop. It's taken a long time, but it's been this gradual decline of, I'll say, business investment or recognized national business investment in that corridor, Quisenberry said. And the things that have followed along are not the same kind of businesses that generate traffic that help each other. Williams likewise said that the corridor didn't change overnight and rebuilding its vitality will take time. He plans to emphasize community outreach as part of his strategy and wants to understand what types of businesses are needed, not just wanted, in this area. Williams envisions town hall meetings, workshops, and an advisory committee comprising local business owners, residents, and city officials. He also expects to conduct a market analysis soon. Montgomery said he'd like to see a focus on investing in small businesses and helping them grow. I think that they're more likely to actually invest in the community, he said, adding that it seems like corporations are often more concerned about their bottom line. In addition to his long-term strategy, Williams said there is some low-hanging fruit in terms of infrastructure improvements that he plans to implement in the short term to help the corridor. This includes fixing sidewalks and adding street lighting. He also wants to focus on highlighting the positive aspects of the area and the opportunities it presents. There's a strong residential neighborhood on either side of Philo Road, Quisenberry said. He said other strengths include Myers' investment in its location at Philo and Windsor in recent years and Sola Gracia Farm to the east. Sense of neglect. Leslie Myers, co-owner of Sheer Impressions, said the salon moved from North Cunningham Avenue to the Sunnycrest Center 7 years ago. As the location provided more parking and was more of a family area, as opposed to being right off the interstate. She added that it's a tight-knit community with local business owners who look out for each other. One of the reasons Dakota and Jeff Thomas Wilhelm chose to locate Good Judy's Espresso and Bagel Bar in the Pines near Windsor and Philo was the potential they saw in the area due to several new housing developments nearby. We're proud to be part of the community, but it's disheartening to see so many key buildings, especially those that once housed anchor stores, sitting empty, they told the News Gazette in an email. It reminds us of the decline of traditional malls. Once the anchors leave, foot traffic and energy tend to follow. There are also a few apartment buildings that appear abandoned, which adds to the sense of neglect. We'd love to see those spaces brought back to life. Williams and Quisenberry both expressed concern about landlords in this area who have failed to maintain their properties. It's a long-term understanding that if there isn't investment in maintenance and keeping those properties up, you end up with other issues that come along with that, like increased crime, Quisenberry said, and we've seen that. Police pilot program. According to Urbana Police, the Philo Road corridor saw 50 instances of violent crime and 108 property crimes in 2024. In 2023, there were 57 violent crimes and 96 property crimes. As of June 1, there had been 21 violent crimes and 13 property crimes this year. That includes one homicide and 20 cases involving battery or assault and intimidation. Chief Larry D. Boone said he remains cautiously optimistic about the future of the community engagement program that he has proposed as a 3-year pilot, with offices located in a substation in the South Philo Road area. He said Philo Road was identified as a possible launch site based on the level of crime in the area, which presents key opportunities for community building, increased police visibility, and deeper collaboration with local stakeholders. I think that there's a misconception sometimes when community engagement police are put into certain neighborhoods, Williams said. But as long as we ensure that we are focusing on outreach and really ensuring that we are providing a resource to folks in the community, I think that it can be a benefit. Whether or not Boone's department will receive the necessary funding to start the pilot remains to be seen, with the City Council set to vote Monday on the fiscal 2026 budget. Broader strategy. While Williams' proposed budget includes funding to support the program, not all aldermen are in favor of it. Quisenberry is supportive of the community engagement program, though he feels that locating it along Philo Road is not essential, as engagement activities occur throughout the community. Myers thinks adding a community engagement office on Philo Road is a wonderful idea. They would be closer if something were to happen, she said. B, it can show people that officers aren't bad people. They're just given a bad rap. They have to do their job. It's not their fault that people do bad things. She's also appreciative of the department's current efforts to check in on the salon and visit with customers. The owners of Good Judy's said they agree that community engagement is important, but added that it needs to be part of a broader strategy that includes small business incentives, a library annex, community spaces, and other components that bring people together and foster a sense of pride. The biggest challenge is the lack of things to do, the Thomas Wilhelms wrote in an emailed response. Beyond Meyer, Salt and Light, and a few restaurants, there's not much to draw people in. The area feels like it's missing a sense of charm or identity, something that makes it feel like a destination rather than just a pass-through. Williams similarly said, this area of Urbana could use some entertainment and cultural events, as well as a youth outreach center. We have to just bring some excitement back to the area, he said. I think that once we do that and put some attention into that area, get eyes back on that space in a positive light, I think that's going to help turn things around. Continuing inside the front page, top of the morning. Something to get you going today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rossow. In the 18 years, he's been handing out monthly awards for proper display of the American flag. Champaign American Legion Post 24's Chuck Zielinski never experienced a reception like the one at Champaign Central High School. There to honor the Maroons for maintaining Old Glory at their new athletic complex along Church Street, Zielinski walked into an all-staff assembly led by retiring principal Joe Williams. Near the end of the meeting, incoming principal Montia Gardner invited Zielinski to spill the beans that Central would become one of the few places in town to win the award for a second time, also in 2021, when renovations were completed. Better yet, Gardner had Zielinski address the staff to explain the award and the support available at Post 24 regarding questions about American flag etiquette, he said. Zielinski presented a plaque to Gardner and teachers Mike Stitch and Guthrie Hood. Have a flag to display to denominate? Reach out to Zielinski at 217-356-5114 or email at al24champaign@gmail.com. And in history, area history in 1925, a unique ceremony occurred at the Urbana-Lincoln, at which time a tablet containing Lincoln's Gettysburg Address with a medallion bust of the martyred president at the top, the gift of the Association of Commerce and Manager Hoffman of the hotel, was unveiled, as well as a large portrait of St. Gaudens Lincoln, the gift of Mrs. Hoffman. In 1975, the Urbana City Council voted to allow two U of I campus bars to sell hard liquor, but both Trino's and the Thunderbird have passed on the opportunity to do so. Potential enforcement problems were cited as the reason. State law permits the sale of beer and wine, but not hard liquor, to 19 and 20-year-olds. In 2010, Champaign County board members are scheduled to vote on a resolution that would allow voters to choose whether they would like to see the county board trimmed from 27 members to 22. The board also will vote on the appointment of Champaign Democrat Wayne Williams to the county's Board of Review. We'll consider reducing the number of polling places in November's general election, and we'll vote on a furlough plan for unionized employees. In international history, today's highlight, on June 21, 1788, the United States Constitution went into effect as New Hampshire became the required ninth state to ratify it. On this date in 1834, Cyrus Hall McCormick received a patent for his mechanical reaper. Continuing with Kathy Reeser's mailbag, question is, in the wake of the House versus NCAA settlement, what happens to ICON for Illini and similar collectives that raise and pool donor funds to compensate student-athletes for the use of their name, image, and likeness? The answer is, that's still being sorted out. Kathleen Knight, president and CEO of ICON for Illini, said, "We are pleased with the recent resolution of the House settlement. Despite that, many questions remain about the future of NIL, and we are working collaboratively with the U of I Division of Intercollegiate Athletics to determine how best ICON can continue to support Illinois student athletes in the next phase. In the meantime, ICON will continue facilitating NIL opportunities for Fighting Illini student athletes through local community service activities and engaging supporters through the ICON membership programs. ICON's mission remains critical to the future success of Illinois athletic programs, and we are thankful to so many who have stepped up in support of Illini student athletes through ICON's endeavors. The settlement, reached in a case filed by lead plaintiff Grant House, a former Arizona State University swimmer, is a $2.8 billion agreement under which the NCAA and major conferences will implement a revenue-sharing model for student-athletes and pay former student-athletes for previously denied NIL earnings. Next question is, why was the 4th of July parade moved to the afternoon and the Freedom 5K canceled this year? Diane Ducey, volunteer publicity chair for the Champaign County Freedom Celebration Committee, asked University of Illinois Police Captain Joe McCullough about the parade changes, and he said both a new route and the new 4:30 p.m. start time allows the parade to continue with fewer volunteers. The parade will be utilizing the U of I homecoming parade route, which is very near the location of all the other activities. Evening program, music, food trucks, sensory-friendly area with bubbles and foam cannon, and of course, the 9:15 p.m. fireworks, with the patriotic soundtrack heard on 97.5 WHMS, McCullough said. The Freedom Celebrations website also notes that both the youth run and 5K run walk are canceled this year. No specific reason is provided, but the website does note that volunteers are still needed for a variety of roles on July 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Ducey said the parade units will line up at 3:30 between the U of I's Bielfeldt Building at 1700 South 4th Street and State Farm Center. The parade starts at 4:30, going north on 4th Street to Gregory Drive, west to 1st Street, south to Kirby Avenue, then east back to 4th where it began. It makes sense for the parade to end where it began, so people walking next to the unit to toss out candy to the viewers from on foot can then join their friends and family and then head to Lot 31, Stadium Terrace, across from Orange Grove, and enjoy the rest of the patriotic festivities, she said. Evening musical entertainment will begin as usual at 6 p.m., and the fireworks display will take place at dusk. The fireworks will be launched from Lot E14, west of State Farm Center. The next question is, the Champaign City Council has approved construction of a new fire station at the southeast corner of Neal Street and Bradley Avenue. That's a very busy corner, plus there's a 1st through 12th grade school right across the street. Have they really thought this site through? Champaign Fire Chief Andy Kornstrom says that's a great question, and he believes the Neal Bradley site is a good one for several reasons. First, this relocation will improve service levels to portions of the city and decrease response times to many of the calls in this station's service area, he said. The new location will not decrease service for any part of the city by moving to this more centrally located location. It is not uncommon for fire stations to be located at or adjacent to intersections, as it allows for easier access to their respective response areas. As for the proximity to the Champaign School District's Columbia Center, he said fire stations near schools are not uncommon. Fire Station 2, Bottenfield, Fire Station 4, Centennial, Fire Station 5, Garden Hills, and the current Fire Station 3, Franklin, are all similar distances to schools, he said. Our personnel take their driving responsibilities very seriously and work to protect the public, whether that's students at the school, pedestrians, or passing motorists. It's a priority to operate as safely and efficiently as possible. Qualstrom said, the proposed new Fire Station 3 is planned for the south end of the large lot at Neal and Bradley, closer to Beardsley Avenue on the east side of the street. This planned location will alleviate some challenges with the actual Neal and Bradley intersection, he said. Additionally, fire stations and fire trucks can not only control fire station access and egress, but they can also control intersections through various traffic light preemption programming. All major intersections in Champaign have preemption systems, and Fire Station 2 and current Fire Station 3 have red lights at the station to stop traffic when trucks are heading out on calls. The new Fire Station 3 will have both of these tools, Qualstrom said. The plan is to integrate street markings in front of the stations to remind drivers that fire truck traffic is to be expected, he said, and work with nearby schools to keep students safe. Next question. I noticed the burrito food truck near Prospect and Bradley Avenues has added what looks like permanent seating with a canopy. Is that new? I like it. The tables and canopies were added at Moe's food truck about 3 years ago, says manager Brandon Anaya. But the colorful picnic tables do seem to pop a little more when the early evening sun hits them just right. While many food trucks occupy spaces on city streets, those that regularly set up shop on private property may have more flexibility to offer such amenities to their patrons. We plan on continuing this for as long as weather permits, Anaya said. And continuing with community news, from the Champaign County Court, article titled, Search in Separate Case Allegedly Turns Up Child Porn. Seven counts filed against Champaign man, already facing charges of being felon in possession of a gun. This article is by Luke Taylor. A Champaign man has been charged with possession of child pornography after police searched his computer as part of a separate pending case against him. Mark H. Dyson, 48, was charged with seven counts of possession of child pornography in this new case. The previous and ongoing case includes two counts of felon in possession of a firearm. His attorney, Jamie Props, said many of the accusations against him are tied to ongoing divorce proceedings, which she said have caused angst for the family. Assistant State's Attorney Scott Larson said the weapon possession case originated on October 4, 2024, when Dyson's partner allegedly he had pushed and threatened her and was in possession of a gun. Police located a loaded magazine in a dresser drawer, and later a loaded gun was found in a backyard. Dyson was not being detained in that case, but an order of protection prevented him from having contact with his partner. As that case proceeded, the partner made a number of allegations against him, including that he asked her to role play as a child during sex and would turn off utilities and TV services if she declined to perform specific sex acts. She also said that he recorded them having sex without her knowledge and posted it online, Larson said. Also, since the order of protection was filed, she has made several reports that Dyson was coming close to violating it by being near the house or contacting her through their shared children. Props said Dyson's partner had also made unwanted contact with him by posting images of him on a website where people post about their partners to ask if other people were also in relationships with them. The partner's reports that Dyson had shared images and videos of her without her consent led Champaign police to obtain a search warrant for his electronic devices, Larson said. On those devices, they allegedly found evidence that hundreds of images and videos of child pornography had been downloaded and later deleted. Each of the seven charges is tied to one of those images or videos, which all portray children appearing to be under the age of 14, engaging in sexual acts, sometimes with other children or adults. All of the images and videos were allegedly downloaded in December 2023 and apparently deleted by October of 2024. Props said, since Dyson hadn't had access to the devices since the order of protection was filed, he couldn't have deleted the files in preparation for the police search. She suggested he could have downloaded the files unknowingly, along with an intended legal download, then deleted them upon finding them in the computer. Larson argued that Dyson should be detained until trial because the alleged crime of possession of child pornography is considered violent, since any consumption of the content encourages others to create more of it. Props said Dyson could not be proven to be a threat to his community since there is no evidence he made contact with any children. Champaign County Judge Matthew Lee said the case was a close call. He said if this had been a request to revoke pretrial release in the weapon possession case, he would have been more likely to rule in the prosecutor's favor. He said Dyson had shown a disregard for the court order of protection despite knowing he should follow it. Why in the world would someone in his position toe that line or potentially cross it? It's wildly foolish, outlandish, and reckless, Lee said. Instead, this hearing was about pretrial release on the entirely new case. Lee ruled that Dyson could be released under the watch of the Office of Statewide Pretrial Services and all of the typical conditions. Additionally, he will be required to turn over his computers and any similar devices with internet access, such as an iPad and his cell phone. From the Champaign County Court, a Rantoul man faces child porn charges. Tech repair staff allegedly found images while fixing his phone, by Luke Taylor. A Rantoul man has been charged with possessing child pornography after employees at a tech repair shop found alleged suspicious content on his phone. Christopher N. Lapino, 32, is facing four counts of possession of child pornography, which he allegedly admitted to viewing, referring to it as a burden that he took on. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the News Gazette for Sunday, June 22nd, 2025. Please stay tuned.